Good morning. Yeah, thank you, Ronald, for reading the scripture passage for us. Before we study the word of God, let us come before him and worship him by means of prayer. So I ask you to join me, please. O God, we praise you because you are awesome. You are holy. You are the Almighty. We worship no one but you. O God, we thank you because your love reaches to the skies, your faithfulness to the heavens. We thank you for being such a wonderful God, a loving Father. O God, as we come into your presence this morning, as we draw close to you, Lord, we pray that you have mercy on us, so that we can meet you face to face, so that we can really worship you and enjoy this period of fellowship with you. Oh God, we know that it is not we who have anything to offer to you, but it is because of Christ Jesus. He died and rose again for us. We believe in risen Savior. We believe in a resurrected Lord. And so we come to you through him, and we ask you to receive us, to accept us because of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we just pray that as we continue to journey here on earth, we pray that you will continue to renew us, quicken our spirit. You will continue to revive us so that we can always have this lively spirit, responding to your love, responding to your faithfulness. Oh Lord, help us to become the kind of Christian you want us to be. Not just us individually, but the entire church. So that this church can always glorify you, can always represent you here in this part of the Lower Mainland. So Lord, we thank you for what you are able to do, and we look forward to your working in our lives every day. So Lord, as we come before you now, we ask you to we render our needs to you. We lay down at your feet some of our burdens. Lord, you know what has been happening in our individual lives and in the life of this church, and we pray that out of your abundance you will meet our needs. You will bear our burdens. Lord, we pray for those who are sick. We pray that you continue to heal them. You continue to minister to them. And those who are troubled at heart or troubled by other things in life, we pray that your word will speak to them. Your word will give them great comfort, because you are the God who cares. You are the God who are able to bear our burdens. And Lord, we also pray for those of us who may be struggling in school or at work. We pray that you will help us not lose heart, because you can always help us meet the challenge of studies or meet the challenge at work, and eventually we can emerge triumphantly. Thank you, O God. Lord, we pray also for the turmoil in different parts of the world. Lord, we know that you are the sovereign Lord. You are in control, and we pray that you will send forth your peace, and you will prevent any further loss of innocent lives. Lord, we just pray that the world will come under your control. The world will come to acknowledge you as its Lord and its Savior. So may you go forth. May you go forth to manifest yourself. May you be really the one whom the whole world, the whole humanity worships. We praise you, O God, and we thank you. And as we study your word now, may you be with us illumine our minds and our hearts and give us a teachable spirit, humility to receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, how many of you are Canucks fans? Come on, don't be shy, you know. Yeah, sure. So, how's your team doing? Your team is not really doing that greatly, right? Yeah, in this month, in the past month, February, your team has been, so-so, right? Just 50%, right? Above average or whatever. Now, the NHL trading deadline has come and gone. Now, in your opinion, should your team really trade for a fourth line center to strengthen the, or to, you know, reinforce the offense? What do you think? Yes, yeah, but unfortunately, I guess Mike Gillis didn't do it, right? And that's why maybe your team is languishing in a bit. It doesn't really look like a championship team at the moment, okay? But thank God, your team won yesterday, right? Yeah, 3-1 over LA Kings. Now, you know, it's not easy to be an NHL player. You know, you really have to have the skill, the speed, right, the physique, the mind, and everything to qualify yourself to be an NHL player. And so it's not really easy to earn that contract of $6 million, right? Now, NHL has its own set of requirements, qualifications. And some of you are in school still. You go to high school and maybe some of you are graduating this June. And recently you've been very busy applying for different colleges and universities. Now these colleges and universities have their own admission requirements too, right? They look at your academic results, they look at your extracurricular activities, and they look at your community service, and maybe some colleges and universities require a letter of recommendation by references. And so it's not easy. Fidelia is applying for universities too. She wants to study music. And they need, the universities require audition. And so, you know, Fidelia would have to go through that as well. It's not easy. And if you are working, you know what I'm talking about too. It's not really, you know, a piece of cake at work, right? Your company has different standards. You need to meet the standards before you can qualify to be an employee or, you know, a worker in that company. I just want to tell you, it's the same for our church. Our church has been looking for a children's ministry pastor. And our church has a set of requirements for all the applicants to meet before we would call them for interview and all that. I'm just wondering, what if the heaven is recruiting residents? What would the admission committee look for in order to let people go into heaven? Would they look at beauty? Would they look for, you know, money? Would they look for status? Would they consider all these things? Now, if the admission committee really did consider all those, then I will be disqualified. You know, when you look at me, I'm not handsome by any stretch of imagination, right? And I have no money. And I have no status. But thank God, if there were such an admission committee, you know, those that I mentioned were not the qualifications or the requirements. The book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 to 9 tells us very clearly, right? We have been saved by faith, by grace through faith. It is not what? It is not from ourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Everybody who truly believes and accepts Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior understands this truth very clearly. And so did the Christians in the Corinthian church. They understood this very clearly too. But unfortunately, they were influenced by the Greek culture at the time. They were influenced by the trend of society at the time. When they considered Jesus Christ and the cross, when they considered this truth, they thought that this truth, this, you know, gospel, was not really as powerful as that, you know, great as the philosophical thoughts, as great as the philosophies that were prevalent at the time. And so they looked down on the gospel, even though they believed in it. People in those days, in the Corinthian church, they admired philosophy. They admired philosophical sayings. They admired wisdom. They adored people who were able to debate. They were eloquent, those orators. People adored them. And the Corinthian Christians were no exception. And as a result of that kind of influence from society, that kind of trend, the Corinthian Christians were affected. They had factions, they had divisions, they had groups. They say, oh, I belong to Paul, I belong to Peter, I belong to Apollo. And so there was a lot of trouble in the church. And so the Apostle Paul wrote them a letter. On the one hand, he wanted to resolve their conflict. On the other hand, he wanted to point it out to them that their understanding, their view of Jesus Christ and the truth was erroneous. It was wrong. You know, the truth of the cross is absolutely not inferior to the philosophical sayings of the time. The truth of the cross is absolutely not foolish, not simple. The truth of the cross comes from the Almighty God, comes from the wisdom of God. And Paul taught the Corinthian Christians, and he teaches us today too, to build our lives, to found our lives upon God's wisdom, so that we have a firm foundation. And the past two Sundays, or several Sundays, we studied chapter 1, verse 10 to 25. And today we will study chapter 1, verse 26 to 31. And so I ask you to keep that passage open in the Bible. And may the Spirit of the Lord help us put the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth of the cross, in high regard. We should do our utmost to defend the truth of the cross. We should not lift man on high. Rather, we should lift God, Christ Jesus, our Lord, on high, so that he becomes the center of our lives. He becomes the Lord of our lives. And we'll be able to keep our unity in Jesus Christ. Now, why should we lift Jesus Christ on high? Why should we do that? Well, in verse 24 and 25, the Apostle Paul said, Christ is the power and wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. We should build our lives upon the wisdom of God. I want you to think about this. You know, when God is at His worst, when God is at His worst, He is still far much greater. He is still far much better than when we are at our best. Think about it. You know, no matter how much we can muster, no matter how much we can gather together, all that we have is nothing in the sight of God. We cannot even compare all this with God's wisdom or God's weakness or God's foolishness. You know, all this that God has, even His foolishness, even His weakness, is far greater than what we can muster, than what we can gather. And so if we don't believe in Jesus Christ, if we don't acknowledge Him as the God and the Lord of our lives, the foolish ones are nobody but us ourselves. We'd be foolish not to put our trust in God. We'd be foolish not to believe Him, not to believe in Jesus Christ. In today's passage, verse 26 to 31, now Paul explains clearly how God saved the Corinthian Christians. In what circumstance, in what situation were the Corinthian Christians saved? Now, in a way, the Apostle Paul is telling the Corinthian Christians, hey, take a look at yourself in the mirror. You know, when you look yourself in the mirror, then you will know what you were like at the time when you were saved by God. And so in verse 26, Paul said, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. And the word called indicates who the Corinthian Christians were at the moment they were saved by God. What they were in society. You know, Paul uses a phrase three times to describe their status, to tell them who they were, to help them remember who they were. This phrase is not many. The Apostle Paul uses not many three times to remind them of their status. Paul says, not many of you were wise. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. You know, according to the standard of society at the time, most of the Corinthian Christians were not highly educated. And so, they were not really the elite. They were not considered wise by human standards. And they were not influential because they were just ordinary common folks in society. They were the small potatoes. They were not those who were in the political world, who were in society, who could wield power. And they were not of noble birth. That means, you know, they were not of the upper class. Most of them were of the lower class. And amongst them, there were even slaves. You know, Paul is telling the Corinthian Christians, you remember that? You remember who you were when you were being saved by God? You know, God accepted you not because of your education. God accepted you not because of your influence in society. God accepted you not because you are of noble birth. You are just ordinary common folks. Your life is changed all because of what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. Christ saved you. And as a result, your life is changed. Now, why does God choose those whom the world looked down upon? Why does God choose those who are forsaken by society? Well, in verse 27 to 29, God tells us this, or Paul tells us this. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. I want to draw your attention to the strong contrast here in these few verses. Foolishness and wisdom. Weakness and strength. You know, those who have and those who have not. You know, God chooses those whom the world consider foolish, whom the world consider weak, whom the world consider nobody, in order to shame those who think that they are wise, to shame those who think that they are influential, to shame those who think that they are somebody. You know, God does that so that those who think they are everything themselves, who are full of themselves, so that they can not boast. They have no way of boasting. Now, as you read these verses, 27 to 29, you notice that Paul used the phrase God chose three times. You know, this phrase God chose or God chooses strongly emphasizes God's sovereignty. You know, God acts according to his will. God acts according to his way. God chooses to choose whom he wants to save. God chooses those whom the world doesn't want to choose. What God chooses is so different from what the world chooses. God likes to choose losers, if I may say so. God likes to choose those who are forgotten more than those who are famous. God likes to choose small potatoes than those who are big shots. God likes to choose the poor more so than the rich. Now this is how Jesus Christ ministered to the crowd when he was here on earth 3.5 years in his ministry. You know, Jesus Christ reached out to, you know, these people, the brokenhearted. And in today's term, maybe, you know, the drug addicts, those who are in prison, those whom the world thinks nothing of. God likes them the most. In fact, you know, when you look at the heroes in the Bible, almost all of them have failed one way or the other, at one time or the other. Noah was a drunk, right? Abraham was a liar. And Jacob deceived people. And Moses was a murderer. And Rahab, the ancestor of Jesus Christ, was a prostitute. And David was an adulterer. And the Apostle Paul persecuted the church. And Peter denied Jesus 3 times. You know, God likes to choose losers, so that nobody can boast. If God chose those who had no blemishes, who had no shortcomings, who had no defects, I'm sure those people would, you know, be full of themselves. They would think that they are somebody. They would not really highly regard God, and they think that they did it themselves. But God didn't do that. Now, brothers and sisters, maybe from time to time, we should take a good look at ourselves in the mirror. What are we like? Who are we? Maybe when we see ourselves in the mirror, then we can remember whom we were and what we were at the time Jesus Christ saved us. If we could do that from time to time to really reflect on this, then I'm sure we won't be proud. I'm sure we won't boast. I'm sure we'll become even more grateful. All the more. The older you get, the better you understand this. the older you get, the more appreciative you become. You know, right now, you are young, and I admire your youth. Right now, I wish that I were, you know, at your age, in your teens, early 20s, mid-20s. But the older you get, the more you can appreciate, you know, how God saved you when you became a Christian. What you were like when you became a Christian. It is really out of God's grace. It is out of God's mercy. Do you still remember, for those of you who have already accepted Jesus Christ, do you still remember how you became a Christian, what you were like at that moment, what you were doing at that moment? You remember? I do. At that time, I was attending a Bible class on a Saturday afternoon for primary 6 or elementary grade 6 students. My grade 6 class teacher was leading a group of us to accept Jesus Christ. I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I needed to confess my sin. And I knew that Jesus died on the cross for me. And He rose from the dead for me. He did all this because He loved me. You know, in my journey, from time to time, I look at myself and I wonder, you know, how could God save a person like me? I have shortfalls everywhere. You know, I have, you know, weaknesses in all areas of life. And yet, you know, God saved me. And today, I am what I am by the grace of God. I have nothing to boast of. I can only boast in Jesus Christ and His crucifixion. Now, brothers and sisters, even though we may be just small potato, even though we may be the forgotten, even though people don't think that we are useful, we can still praise the Lord and thank Him. Because God, out of His sovereignty, chose us. God, out of His sovereignty, saved us. And in the eyes of the Lord, we are not foolish. We are not weak. We are somebody. Praise the Lord. We are the apple of His eye. And because of this work that God has done for us, and so we should live our lives joyfully. We should live our lives holding up our heads high all the time. You know, joyfully living as God's children. Joyfully living as God's the citizens of God's kingdom. You know, we want to praise the Lord because God loved us despite who we are. And so at this moment, I want you to turn to your neighbor, turn to everybody, and say to everybody, each other, you are the apple of God's eye. You know, you are the apple of God's eye. Yes. We are precious. We are precious in the sight of God. And we need to learn from God. We need to learn from God so that we can help those who are lowly. We can have mercy on those who are despised. We can lift high those who are being ignored, those who are weak. You know, 2 months ago, I attended a workshop in the winter conference. The workshop was about how the church should treat homosexual people. The workshop was conducted by a pastor who was once a homosexual himself. As he shared his journey, as he shared his struggles, as he shared all the, you know, challenges that he faced. I was, you know, hanging on every word that came out of his mouth. I was traveling along with him in his journey. And I felt that kind of struggle that he was going through. You know, I felt as if, yeah, sure, I'm a sinner too. Just like Paul, huh? I'm a sinner and the worst of all. You know, the Holy Spirit reminds me, or reminded me at that time, that I needed to be more sympathetic. I needed to be more empathetic. I needed to be more merciful. I needed to be more gracious to people who are in need, who may have struggles, who may have challenges in life. Why? The Spirit told me, everybody is precious in God's sight. Everybody is the apple of God's eye. Jesus Christ died for you and for me. And also, I want to, you know, give thanks to the Lord. And last Sunday, I shared with you incident about my nosebleed. After that, in the second first surface, and after the surface, many of you asked me about my condition, and some of you phoned me or sent me email and told me not to worry about it, and you know, your moms and dads taught me some of the things that I needed to watch out for. But the most comforting thing is, you know, I know that many of you, not just you here, but in the church, are praying for me. And I truly feel God's care and God's protection. And I truly appreciate and experience God's love in your midst. And I want to thank you for that. You know, I've never had any nosebleed. I seldom, I should say. Really, even when I was growing up in Hong Kong and here. But you heard my story last week. And of course, that was scary, right? But I thank God. In the past week, my nosebleed stopped. And I went to see my family doctor. And now I'm waiting for the ENT specialist appointment. And so I want to ask you to continue to pray for me. I trust that my life is in God's hand. Now, one of the emphases of our church ministry this year is to strengthen the fellowship life in this church, or, you know, group life in this church. The church wants to encourage you to join groups, to join fellowships, so that we can learn to care for one another, so that we can learn to support one another. In the past 2 months, I, you know, attended the Chinese fellowships, and of course, you know, I had a fellowship with the HUGS, the English Adult Fellowship, and, you know, got to know the groups and understand that brothers and sisters do care for one another. And your caring for one another is very admirable. It's good. And I hope that you continue, so that we can truly strengthen our fellowship life here in church. Maybe, you know, for some of you, you haven't really had any so-called fellowship, quote-unquote, for some time. And yet, you can go to Bible study groups, where you can study the Word of God on the one hand, and on the other hand, you can, you know, share your burdens with your brothers and sisters and pray for one another. And so I encourage you, if you haven't really joined any Bible study group, do it, so that you get support, so that you won't feel alone when you face challenges, when you have problems. It's very important to have support. You know, God puts us together not because, you know, He wants to build a church. Yes, sure, He does want to build a church. But God puts us together so that we can learn to support one another. We can learn to encourage one another. And here in our church, we have a caring department. I want to thank God for the caring department, the department head, and all the volunteers who serve in this department. They visit brothers and sisters in this church regularly to show care to them. And since September last year, the caring department has started a regular visitation on the fourth Tuesday of the month. Every fourth Tuesday of the month. After the church prayer meeting, a group of brothers and sisters would go out and visit different people. And I ask you to pray for them. And maybe, you know, you can come and join them too. Seriously, it's not just, you know, for your moms and dads. It's not just for the, you know, adults. It can be for you too. So that, you know, we can really learn to have fellowship, to support and encourage one another. So if you are interested, go talk to the department head, Kate, all right, Mitchell's mom. Then, you know, you will find out more about this ministry. The Spirit of the Lord teaches us, reminds us that we have to reach out to the lowly. We have to recognize, we have to sympathize, we have to empathize people's needs and show mercy to those who are in need. Because everyone is precious in God's sight. And as Paul, you know, closes his teaching in verse 30, he says this: "It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." Now this verse reminds the Corinthians once again that they were saved not because of human wisdom, not because of human influence, not because of human nobility. No matter how wise you are, no matter how much wealth you hold, no matter how many Bible verses you are able to memorize, especially those of you who have gone through this system of Awana, no matter how long you have come to this church, even your parents, your family members are leaders of this church, that will not get you into the kingdom of God. That will not get you Christ's salvation. We are saved all because of what God has done through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so God says, or Paul says, Christ is God's wisdom. And this wisdom includes righteousness, holiness, and redemption. You know, this verse, verse 30, summarizes very well what we've been studying in chapter 1, verse 18 to 30. You know, Paul tells the Corinthian Christians, you don't need to admire the philosophy out there. You don't need to adore those, you know, fancy debaters. Actually, you have already got the real thing. You have already got the truth. You have already got the real wisdom, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. Jesus Christ is everything. You don't even need to go out there. You have already got it. Jesus Christ gives us righteousness so that we can be reconciled to God, so that we can be reconciled to ourselves, so that we can be reconciled to one another. And as a result, there should be no factions, there should be no divisions in our midst. And Jesus Christ is our holiness. He can make us holy. He can set us apart so that we can go through this process of being holy, being sanctified. And Jesus Christ is our redemption. He is able to save us, to deliver us from sin, and lead us into eternal life. And Paul says, well, if that's the case, and since that's the case, he says in verse 31, let those who boast, boast in the Lord. Don't boast in human wisdom. Don't boast in human influence. Don't boast in human status. boast in the Lord, because the Lord is your wisdom. Now, verse 31 is a quote from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9, verse 24. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24 are closely related to what we studied this morning. You know, in verse 23 of that chapter in Jeremiah, God said to the Israelites of Jeremiah's day, you know, those who thought, or who were full of themselves, who thought they were too highly of themselves, God said to them, "Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches." Now mind you, God is not opposed to wisdom. God is not opposed to wealth. God is not opposed to ability. God is not opposed to influence. You know, all this comes from the Lord, after all. But when all this makes us think too highly of ourselves, when all this makes us lift us on high, put us on the pedestal, so to speak, when all this makes us lift other people on high and put them on the pedestal, when all this takes the place of God in our lives, that is wrong. Problems will arise. And that's exactly what happened to the Corinthian church. They put this person, that person on a pedestal. And as a result, there were factions in the church. And so, brothers and sisters, let us remember from time to time, let us take a good look of ourselves in the mirror. We are all nothing. I am nothing and you are nothing. Except we are somebody because of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that. And so this passage can and should help us change the way we look at ourselves, the way we look at others, the way we look at our church. You know, we look at the outward. God looks at the heart. We value popularity. God values character. We live for fame. God searches for humility. We list our accomplishments. God sees if we are faithful. And we talk about what we own. God talks about what we give away. We value quantity. You know, how many people are there in the service? How much offering we collect today? And yet, God sees our spiritual condition. Our view is shallow. God's view is deep. Our view is temporary. God's view is eternal. You know, God saved us in Jesus Christ. The, you know, way of the cross is to change our entire being, to change our lives, to change our world view. You know, God chooses the foolish, the weak, in order to crush the proud and those who think they are influential. Standing in front of God, we are nobody. And yet, God saved us in Jesus Christ. And that speaks volumes for who we are. And so, brothers and sisters, salvation is by grace through faith. And let us not lift ourselves on high. Rather, let us elevate God. Let us worship God. And this morning, you may think that you are, you know, nobody. You think that you may be living a sinful life. You think that you need Jesus Christ. Good! And I encourage you to do that. You know, turn to Jesus, and He is able to save you. You know, Pastor Andy is here. I am here. And you can talk to any Christian if you want to become a Christian this morning. And this morning you may be feeling very weak. You may be feeling very, disturbed. You may be feeling despised. But I want to tell you this good news. God chooses you. You are the apple of God's eye. In God's sight, you are not foolish. You are not weak. You are not nobody. You are precious. God can lead you out of the darkness of sin into the light of eternal life. Are you willing? Are you willing? Now, we have been saved by grace through faith. And this not from ourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. And if we boast, let us all boast in the Lord. Amen. So let us pray. Dear God, thank you so much. Because of Jesus Christ, you have made us what we are and who we are today. And Lord, everything that we have, even our very life, is a gift from you. And so Lord, help us recognize that, help us be grateful for that, and help us learn how to continue to walk with you, continue to walk in this relationship, so that wherever we may be, whatever we are doing, we can truly represent you, so that we will not boast of ourselves, but we always boast of Jesus Christ and his cross. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Amen.